Hoshana Tova Tiki Tevu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear, and Hoshana Tova Tiki Tevu to you all, which means may you be inscribed for a good year, because Rosh Hashanah is soon upon us, which begins a new year on God's calendar, and some year will be the year of our resurrection. And that's our topic for tonight and for the next couple of weeks as we begin our yearly series on the appointments of our Lord as outlined in Leviticus 23. Now, let us rejoice, for regardless of what our eyes perceive, we really are privileged to live in these last days.
Lord God, creator of all things, as we prepare to memorialize your beautiful creation, let us be continually mindful of your amazing awesomeness. Your word speaks of dire days before your return, but therefore to encourage one another as we see the day approaching. So, as the body of Christ, we pledge to you our loyalty, our love, and our stamina to stand against all odds that get in our way of sharing the gospel and to pierce the darkness with your light. We pray for Christian discernment, the salvation of our loved ones, and please heal and comfort those who are called by your name. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. So before we talk about Afghanistan, let's just answer one of the questions we recently received.
Yes, we had a question on what to do with old Bibles because it just doesn't feel right to throw them in the garbage.
And my friend, that is your discernment working, for that would not be proper. In today's world, we either donate them or keep them for a future inheritance, especially if you have notes written in them, you know, like your great-granddaughter or somewhere down the line. Although I don't think we'll be here that long. Anyway, our daughters are actually feuding over who will get my Bibles when I go to meet Jesus. Anyhow, in ancient days, and still amongst the Orthodox today, when the scrolls were getting to where the ink was getting hard to read, instead of keeping them and taking a chance that they might be misinterpreted, they actually would bury them with their prayers, thanking God for his word.
You could also wait and bury them with a righteous person upon their bodily death.
Yes, you could do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fires, hurricanes, and floodings are picking up again.
Yes, along with extreme seismic activity all across the world today. But the worst story today is, of course, Afghanistan, with so many Americans still trying to get out, you know, now that the Taliban has taken over and ISIS is back too, along with Al-Qaeda, who actually never really left. They just assimilated. It's pretty heartbreaking, and the long-term effects will be devastating as our allies are watching and wondering, what would we do, what would the United States do if they actually needed us, as in Israel, or especially Taiwan these days.
And even the Ukraine.
Yeah. Interesting how, and I just found this out, the CIA director just, it was supposed to be kept a secret, met with the leader of Taliban yesterday.
Just how much in cahoots are they?
Exactly. But anyway, most think it's time for Biden to go.
Actually, he should be court-martialed.
But then we get Kamala, who will also be a puppet because the globalist cabal, as in the CIA and the military-industrial complex I could put in there, them and others are really in charge.
Who need wars to continue.
Oh, yes. Surely this agenda was all planned many moons ago, along with the immigration problem of which... Now we have two.
More on this debacle is in our newsletters that just went out yesterday.
Meanwhile, we must keep our eyes on the prize.
Amen to that. Meanwhile, Biden is scheduled to meet with Israel's right-leaning Prime Minister Bennett this week.
Yes, who is not expected to kowtow to a two-state solution, as Biden will be pushing for, amongst other things. However, as you know, it's a split coalition. So the next Prime Minister, Yair Lapid, is he's much more to the left and would probably do so, especially when America tells him to. And, in fact, wait for it, has already stated that would be a good possibility.
Well, now, you know, that's a big wow.
It's almost breathtaking. And he takes the helm in August of 2023. So, you know, prophecy buffs, because of Daniel 9:27, can finally see the coming seven-year judgment when Israel agrees to give up its sovereignty over East Jerusalem, where God's temples once stood, therefore making way for Satan's temple to be built on the same mount.
Well, it will happen. Scripture says so. Revelation 11.
Yep. And Israel is being very forceful again with their vaccine mandates.
And we are following in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's mostly the vaccinated who are having breakthrough cases, and many are being hospitalized, as we predicted a few months ago would happen. And I pray this isn't realized. But a Chinese-connected whistleblower last month said that China is planning to release a stronger virus in the United States while at the same time take over Taiwan, especially because of this fiasco in Afghanistan, which is occupying much of our time right now. And as you know, we have increased our presence to approximately 7,000 soldiers from only 2,500 when they left on Biden's orders.
And booster shots are expected next month for everyone.
Oh, yeah, especially now that the FDA has fully approved the Pfizer vaccines, which in most minds, they were forced to do by the puppet masters.
More pressure on the resistors.
Mm-hmm. And Biden quickly called on all businesses to force vaccines on employees. Remember, these injections are not like a piece of the virus going in as in past vaccines.
Yeah, this is altogether different.
Right. It sends RNA messages to every cell, instructing them to make a spike protein, then hoping the injected person's body will respond by creating an immune response.
So they say.
Again, this is not actually a vaccine. And there is no real protection against COVID.
As we are witnessing.
Mm-hmm. And now the people who are vaccinated have these protein cells with spikes all over them circulating throughout the body, which can get clogged in the bloodstream, causing dangerous clots, especially those having thicker blood. And some do die, although few reported, and many are having serious adverse reactions. And also know this. A true vaccine stays in the deltoid arm muscle, which then develops an immune response. And it's that immune response, not the shot, that circulates.
Which mRNA does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, throughout your body. A big problem with the mRNA is that although your cells are somewhat protected from a COVID infection, it will not protect from variants and other more serious coming pestilence, because your immune system has now been compromised to fight only COVID-19. But they say the shots are now waning, which is their excuse for pushing regular boosters.
Yeah, to further our God-given natural immune system.
Yeah, to further damage it. So that's exactly what the devil has in mind. And by the way, some of the shots were placebos, you know, to space out the reactions.
Okay, you can send your end time question by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you on our mailing list for our newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right, then. Now for the good stuff, which I enjoy much more talking about. Let me begin by saying that anyone who knows about the Lord's seven appointments, you know, that he made, honestly, with all mankind, gets pretty excited every fall season, and for good reason. You know, when I was a new believer, I was taught that Jesus could return at any time. And we're not totally against that theory. And actually would welcome it at any time.
Well, that goes without saying.
However, in this last generation, as prophesied in Daniel 12:4, knowledge, to include our spiritual knowledge, has intentionally increased, especially to the Church of Philadelphia, that is, at least to those who want it, and by searching for it.
As he so eloquently expresses in Proverbs 25:2.
Yep, his treasures are hidden so we can find them. Just like the Holy Spirit has started opening the eyes of the Jews to Christianity, the Holy Spirit is opening his Christians' eyes to Jewish roots, which for me began about 30 years ago and has actually connected many dots.
Well, like the fitting of the end time puzzle.
Just to understand the real meaning of the feasts, all outlined in Leviticus 23, reveals a plethora of insights.
And along with the wedding customs, you have a pretty good handle of how it will be.
Right. You do not have to be a Bible expert to get this. Even children can understand it. Okay, let me begin with an important fact. The Hebrew word for feast is moed, which means appointments. Four were kept and three are left. Let's read into the intro paragraph to these appointments in Leviticus 23.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast,
which means appointments,
of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations,
which means rehearsals,
these are my feasts.
So in other words,
say to them, the appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsals, these are my appointments.
Whose appointments?
The Lord's.
Not just for the Hebrews anymore, but for us too, because we have been grafted in. And actually, you can't deny that everyone is affected by these big events, as we know happened with his first four appointments.
So let's review that.
I think we should. The first appointment was Passover, Nisan 14, when Jesus applied his own blood on the wooden cross, fulfilling the historical account of when the Hebrews applied the blood of the lamb on the wood around the door to escape the angel of death. Now those who accept his sacrifice also escape death by spiritually applying his blood on the door of our hearts.
Then the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Jesus took our leaven, our sins, and buried them in the tomb on the same anniversary date as when the Hebrews left Egypt after eating the unleavened bread after sundown. So now it would be the 15th of Nisan.
Leaven always represents sin in Scripture.
Yes. Then Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, for he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
Now it's Nisan 17.
Which is the same date they escaped from their enemy through the Red Sea. They were victorious, just like we have victory over our enemy too, because of Yeshua.
Then, 50 days later, they received their Torah with the Ten Commandments.
Yes. That was the very first Pentecost on Sivan 7, a Sunday. Jesus, too, fulfilled this fourth appointment of Pentecost, also on a Sunday, Acts chapter 2, by sending his Holy Spirit to Jerusalem to empower them, and now us, bestowing gifts, and teaches us by giving his bride a deeper understanding of our Torah and the whole Word of God.
Now, we are in the church age, anticipating his fifth appointment.
Yes, the last trump, which is an idiomatic phrase for the Feast of Trumpets.
Its Hebrew name is Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, Rosh meaning head and Shana meaning year. It is the anniversary of the creation, but even more specifically, man. Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, Tishri 1 and 2, always at the time of the fall harvest, on the new moon, which conveys a new beginnings message, which is very fitting. And this year, by the way, is celebrated September 6th through 8th, beginning at sundown. Our Hebraic root studies from the first century points to the last trump as being the resurrection slash rapture, as told to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
And that should excite the body of Christ, for it is the comforting hope that will sustain you in life's many problems. You know, he never promised us a pain-free life, rather that we would have them.
Psalm 34 tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us through them all.
Amen. And as well will reward us accordingly at the beam of judgment as to how we handled life's stressful situations. Can we still be that lighted beacon while occasionally going through some horrendous difficulties?
Kind of like a test.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
So again, the last three appointments to still be fulfilled occur in the fall season, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, or you can call it the Feast of Trumpets. And Leviticus 23:23 says,
speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month,
which is Tishrei,
on the first of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation.
And 10 days after the Feast of Trumpets is Yom Kippur, and 5 days after that is Tabernacles.
All in the month of Tishrei.
Yes. So you can surely understand why we get jubilant this time of year. And if he doesn't come this year, we will have yet another year to witness to more lost souls.
How did Paul put it to the Philippines?
Well, he was hard-pressed because he'd rather go be with the Lord. But if needed, here he would remain.
We should also call attention again to James 5, verse 7.
Yeah, where, you know, James tells us to be patient for the coming of the Lord, like the farmer who waits for the precious fruit of the earth as it receives the early and the latter rains.
Like the two major rains in Israel.
Yes, one in the spring and one in the fall. So that's still another clue, because Jesus is compared to the two rains who gave his ultimate sacrifice for sins during Passover season, which is when the spring rains occur, and therefore another indication he will return when the fall rains occur to fulfill his last three appointments.
Joel 2:23 refers to the two rains as well.
It does. And another clue is in the parables of Matthew 13. Jesus states that the tares, meaning all those evil weeds, will remain with the wheat, which represents us, until the great harvest in the fall season. So we will leave in the fall at the last trump on one of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the fifth appointment he will fulfill. And he then returns with us 7 years later, also in the fall, on a Yom Kippur for his sixth fulfillment. And we see in Revelation 19 that he destroys all the wicked seed and throws them in the fire and ushers in the millennial kingdom on the Feast of Tabernacles, his seventh appointment to fulfill. Anyhow, every year we hope to hear that shofar, but as we said, it all depends on that inevitable peace agreement to fulfill Daniel 9:27. And that's the real final clue. To at least see that it's on the table. And I think the Pope of Rome will play a big role in all that as well. For it has been rumored that the Pope will have control over the Temple Mount should it go international. You know, for all people, as the one world religion will be implemented once the true church is gone. Again, another reason why we must leave. Scripture is clear that the Antichrist wants to build a temple so to sit in the holy place as God. Since we have a few minutes, I'm going to quickly mention some of the other names for Rosh Hashanah. But we'll go over this again next time. But it's also called Yom Terah, which means the day of the awakening blast. Also called the coronation, where they sing Psalm 45. They bake a round loaf of bread because it symbolizes a crown. Because all kings were coronated on Rosh Hashanah. Well, Jesus Christ will be too. It's also called Arise because it's the resurrection of the dead, and Open the Gates, as mentioned in Isaiah 26. Also the Day of Judgment. By the way, there are two. God is sometimes referred to as the Ancient of Days sitting upon a throne, while books containing the deeds of all humanity are opened before him, Malachi 3:16, which is why it is also called the Day of Remembrance. It's also called the Chief of the Year because it means to begin over. By the way, Rosh Hashanah meals include fruit and honey to symbolize a sweet new year. It's also called the Hidden Day, as Psalm 81 verse 3 talks about, because it's a new moon. And it's also a festive meal on every new moon, because it's a type of new beginnings. A Jewish custom could only see the king on a Sabbath or a new moon. 2 Kings 4:23, check it out. And no one knows the day or the hour, Mark 13:32, because it lasts 2 days. And to us, it's especially the wedding to our Messiah. Please remember, God organized detailed wedding requirements with particular phrases that Jesus would use, giving us huge clues so to learn how it will be with us. Now, unless one knows these customs, we often look at the scriptures through Western thinking eyes, which is why I encourage Christians to learn just even a basic knowledge of the Jewish side of Jesus. We will continue studying the feast next week, and remember, there is a boatload of knowledge on our webpage. Take advantage of it, and don't forget your libraries have computers, and we'll show you how to use them. Don't let the enemy tell you can't, or you're too old, or it's just above your head. That is a lie, and it's also his M.O. There is a supreme God who sent his only Son, so you can have eternal life with him. Do it now. There is still time. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that lasting shalom. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in a lot of ways. Psalm 122, verse 6. Shalom, till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.